It's time for drama in the classic serial and an adaptation of Ernest Hemingway's novel For Whom the Bell Tolls. Set high in the pine forests of the Spanish Sierra, a young American volunteer prepares to blow up a vital bridge as part of a Republican offensive during Spain's Civil War.
For Whom the Bell Tolls, by Ernest Hemingway. Adapted by Ed Heim. Part 1.
He lay flat on the brown pine-needled floor of the forest, his chin on his folded arms. And high overhead, the wind blew in the tops of the pine trees. Below, there was a stream alongside the road, and far down the pass he saw a mill beside the stream, and the falling water of the dam, white in the summer sunlight.
Is that the mill? How many soldiers are in there?
Perhaps four, and a corporal. There's another post at the roadmender's hut below the bridge. There are more there.
He spread the photostated military map out on the forest floor and looked at it carefully. The old man looked over his shoulder. He was a short, solid old man in a black peasant smock, and he was breathing heavily from the climb. And his hand rested on one of the two heavy packs they had been carrying.
And at the bridge?
Always two. One at each end. How many men will you need?
I will let you know when we've studied the bridge. Now I wish to go where we will hide this explosive until it is time. How are you called?
I'm called Anselmo. And I come from Barco de Avila. Let me help you with that pack.
The young man, whose name was Robert Jordan, knew from experience how simple it was to move behind enemy lines in all this country, if you had a good guide. It was only giving importance to what happened to you if you were caught that made it difficult. That and deciding whom to trust.
I go ahead to warn them. You do not want to be shot at carrying that stuff.
Robert Jordan trusted the old man, Anselmo, so far. And the problem of the bridge was no more difficult than many other problems. He knew how to blow any sort of bridge that you could name. And he had blown them of all sizes and constructions. There was enough explosive and equipment to blow the bridge, even if it were twice as big as General Goltz had described it the night before.
They tell me you blow bridges very well, Comrade Jordan. You have a funny name in Spanish. Comrade Hordown.
How do you say Goltz in Spanish, Comrade General?
Hortze. Comrade General Hortze. If I had known how they pronounced Goltz in Spanish, I would pick me out a better name before I left Russia. Now, listen. Merely to blow the bridge is a failure. To blow the bridge right after our attack starts is how it should be done. Not before, so it can be repaired if the attack is postponed. That is the only road on which the fascists can bring up reinforcements.
And when is the attack?
I will tell you when to be ready for. But you must use the date and hour only as an indication of probability. Has any attack ever been as it should? All you need to know is that there will be aerial bombardment as preparation. When the planes unload, the attack has started. You understand?
I understand. I do not say I like it very much.
Neither do I. If you think you cannot do it, say so now.
I will do it, Comrade General.
Robert Jordan knelt by the stream, lowered himself with a hand on each of two boulders, and drank. The water was achingly cold. With the old man was another man, also in a black peasant smock and rope-soled shoes, and with a carbine slung over his back.
Salud, camarada.
Salud.
He was a heavy man, about 5 feet 10 inches tall. and his head was round and set close on his shoulders. His eyes were small and set too wide apart.
He's the boss here. Very strong man.
I can see it.
Here you have dynamite. How much have you brought me?
I have brought you no dynamite. The dynamite is for another purpose. What is your name?
What is it today?
It's Pablo.
What are you going to do with the dynamite?
Blow up a bridge.
What bridge?
That is my business. We can discuss it together. Do you wish to help with the sacks?
I will take it.
In Pablo's sullenness, there was a sadness that was disturbing to Robert Jordan. He knew that sadness, and to see it here worried him.
It was Pablo who blew up the train at Arevalo.
There was a foreigner with us who made the explosion. He had a very rare name. He was fair, as you were.
Kashkin.
Yeah. What became of him?
He is dead since April.
The fascists are very strong. I see them always stronger, always better armed. Now, if you blow a bridge, they will know we are here, and we will be hunted.
I come only for my duty. If I ask you to help me, you can refuse, and I will find others who will help me. But I have to do what I am ordered to do, and I can promise you of its importance.
My duty is to those who are with me and to myself. It is only by doing nothing here that we were able to live in these mountains. It's the principle of the fox.
Yes, it's the principle of the fox. When we need the wolf.
I am more wolf than thee.
More wolf than me, and I am 68 years old.
You are an old man who will make himself trouble with his mouth.
I'm an old man who's afraid of no one, and who now is hungry and thirsty. Go on, guerrilla leader with a sad face. Lead us to something to eat.
It is starting badly enough, Robert Jordan thought. But Anselmo's a man. They are wonderful when they are good, he thought. There is no people like them when they are good. And when they go bad, there is no people that is worse. That Pablo is going bad fast, and without hiding it. When he starts to hide it, he will have made a decision. Remember that, he told himself. The first friendly thing he does, he will have made a decision.
Hola, what is this that comes?
The old man and the dynamite.
They had come through the heavy timber to the cup-shaped upper end of the little valley. It was a good camp. There was a large cave, and beside the opening, a man sat with his back against the rock.
Don't leave them so close to the cave. There's a fire in there.
Get up and put it away thyself, gypsy.
Nah, leave it there. Blow thyself up. It shall cure thy diseases.
Robert Jordan lifted the sacks away from the cave entrance and leaned them one on each side of a tree trunk. He knew what was in them, and he never liked to see them close together.
What is there to eat?
Everything, man. We eat like generals.
What do gypsies do in the war?
We keep on being gypsies.
It's a good job.
They're best. How did he call thee?
Roberto. And thee?
Raphael.
There's food, son. Do you have tobacco?
Here.
Much air and little tobacco. I know these Russian cigarettes. The other with the rare name, Adam.
Kashkin.
Yeah. How did he die?
He killed himself. He was wounded and he did not wish to be a prisoner. I don't know the details.
Robert Jordan was lying. He knew the details very well, and he knew they would not make good talking now.
He made us promise to shoot him in case he were wounded at the train. He had a great fear of being tortured.
Poor old Kashkin, Robert Jordan thought. They should have pulled him out. You can't have people around doing this sort of work and talking like that. Even if they accomplish their mission, they're doing more harm than good.
He was a little strange.
Ah, there it comes.
Yeah, you have eaten.
And I can eat twice more.
The girl stooped as she came out of the cave mouth carrying the big iron cooking platter. And Robert Jordan saw her face turned at an angle. And at the same time saw the strange thing about her.
Hola, comrade.
Salud.
Robert Jordan was careful not to stare and not to look away. She set down the flat iron platter in front of him, and she looked him full in the face and smiled. Her teeth were white in her brown face, and her skin and her eyes were the same golden tawny brown. Her hair was the golden brown of a grain field that has been burned dark in the sun, but it was cut short all over her head, so that it was but little longer than fur.
Please don't stare. They gave me this haircut in Valladolid. It's almost grown out now. Go ahead and eat.
It was rabbit cooked with onions and green peppers, and there were chickpeas in the red wine sauce. The girl watched him through the meal. Robert Jordan wiped up the last of the sauce in front of him with a piece of bread, piled the rabbit bones to one side, wiped the spot where they had been for sauce, then ate the bread. The girl still watched him.
How art thou called?
Pablo looked at him quickly when he heard the tone of his voice. Then he got up and walked away.
Maria. And thee?
Roberto. Have you been long in the mountains?
3 months. My hair was shaved in the prison at Valladolid. It has taken 3 months to grow to this. I was on the train that was blown. They were taking me with the other prisoners to the south.
I found her hidden in the rocks. Man, but this one was difficult. We brought her with us, but many times I thought we'd have to leave her.
You have done trains too?
3 trains in Extremadura. There are many of us working in Extremadura.
Robert Jordan realized that it was hard for him to look at her because it made his voice change so. He was violating the second rule of the 2 rules for getting on well with people that speak Spanish. Give the men tobacco and leave the women alone. And he realized very suddenly that he did not care.
I wish I would have had the luck to see you before your hair was cut.
It will grow out. In 6 months it will be long enough.
She picked up the iron plate they had eaten from and the 4 forks and walked back inside the cave. She moved awkwardly as a colt moves, but with that same grace as of a young animal.
How many are you?
We are 7, and there are 2 women.
2?
The girl and the mujer of Pablo. Ah, she is something very barbarous. If you think Pablo is ugly, you should see his woman. But brave. 100 times braver than Pablo.
Pablo was brave in the beginning.
Ah, he killed more people than the cholera. At the start of the movements, Pablo killed more people than the typhoid fever.
Since a long time, he's muy flojo. He's very much afraid to die.
Let us see the mujer of Pablo now.
Yeah, the mujer of Pablo has a strong hatred for me. She treats me as a time waster.
What injustice.
She's against gypsies.
What an error.
She has a tongue that scalds and bites like a bullwhip.
She's very good with the girl. She takes good care of her. She lets no man near her.
The girl was very strange when we found her at the train. She'd not speak, and if anyone touched her, she'd shiver like a wet dog. Only lately has she been better. Talking to you, she was very good. But at the train, we would have left her, something so sad and ugly and worthless. But the old woman tied a rope around her. And when the girl could not go farther, the old woman beat her. And when she really could not go, the old woman made me carry her. Yeah, but what the old woman said to me to make me do it... something barbarous.
It was the only useful thing you've done, you lazy, drunken son of an unmarried gypsy whore.
Robert Jordan saw a woman of about 50, almost as wide as she was tall, in black peasant skirt and waist, with heavy wool socks on heavy legs, black rope-soled shoes, and a brown face like a model for a granite monument.
Get out of here now and relieve Andres on guard at the top.
My boy, I will see you at the hour of eating.
3 times you've eaten today. Go now and send me Andres. Hola. How are you? And how is everything in the Republic?
Good. Both with me and with the Republic.
I am happy. Young man, I am very glad you have come. Do you come to do us another train?
A bridge. But for what I must do, we need many more men.
Tomorrow we'll go see El Sordo. He has the best band in these mountains. Now listen to me. Be very good and careful about the girl, the Maria.
Why do you say this?
I saw how she was from seeing thee. She used to be in a very bad state. Now she's better, she ought to get out of here. You and Anselmo can take her with you to the Republic when this terminates.
That might be done. There are places near Valencia where they will treat her well and she can work with children.
That is what I want. Pablo has a sickness for her already. It's another thing which destroys him. And you will be careful of her now if I trust you. I speak to you as though I knew you for a long time.
It is like that when people understand one another. I promise you, if we are alive after the bridge, we will take her.
Let me see thy hand.
Robert Jordan put his hand out and the woman opened it, held it in her own big hand, rubbed her thumb over it carefully, then dropped it. She looked at him without smiling.
What do you see in it? Tell me.
I saw nothing in it.
Yes, you did. I'm only curious. You won't scare me.
The bridge will be difficult.
No, but I must investigate it.
Good. Go now to thy bridge.
The late afternoon sun that still came over the brown shoulder of the mountain showed the bridge dark against the steep emptiness of the gorge. It was a steel bridge of a single span, and there was a sentry box at each end.
We are too close.
The problem of its demolition was not difficult. As he watched, he made several quick line sketches in a notebook he kept in his breast pocket.
How does it look today?
Very good.
After we've won this war, you must come back to hunt.
You like to hunt?
Yes, man. We all hunt in my village.
I do not like to kill animals.
With me, that's the opposite. I do not like to kill men.
Only those who are disturbed in the head do. But I feel nothing against it when it is necessary for the cause.
It's a different thing, though. In my house, when I had a house, now I have no house. There were the tusks of boar I'd shot in the lower forest. It's a very beautiful thing. Gave me great pleasure to contemplate.
Have you killed men?
Several times. But not with pleasure. I'd rather make them work each day as we've worked in the fields and as we work in the mountains with the timber all the rest of their lives, so they would see what man is born to. Thus they would learn. To kill them teaches nothing.
Robert Jordan thought he was very lucky to have this old man, and having seen the bridge, he resented Goltz's orders. He resented them for what they could do to him, and for what they could do to this old man. They were bad orders, all right, for those who would have to carry them out. And that is not the way to think, he told himself. So he thought about the girl, Maria, with her skin, the hair, and the eyes. All the same golden tawny brown.
Halt! Who goes?
Comrades of Pablo! We come from below!
I know! You come from the bridge! But you must know the second half of the password!
What is the first half?
Mierda! I have forgotten!
This is called guerrilla discipline.
How art thou called?
Agustin.
You look like the other dynamiter. But something different. Listen, comrade. Guard well thy explosive. Thank you. From thee, from lesser men. Now, go up to the camp and tell them to relieve me, because I'm bored and I'm hungry.
And I have forgotten the bullshit password.
Agustin is a very good man. He speaks very filthily and always in jokes, but I have much confidence in him.
And what he says of my explosive?
Yes, man. This Pablo is bad now, as you can see.
We shall guard it at all times. You, me, the woman and Agustin, since he sees the danger.
They came down to the mouth of the cave, where the light shone out from the edge of the blanket that hung over the opening. The two packs were at the foot of the tree, covered with a canvas, and Robert Jordan knelt down, unlocking the long-barred padlocks. Deep in one pack, he felt the bundled blocks in the sacks wrapped in the sleeping robe. In the other, he felt the box of the old exploder, the cigar box with the caps, the small coils of copper wire, and the big coil of light insulated wire. He buckled the flaps down, pushed the lock in, and picked them up, one in each hand, just able to carry them. It was warm and smoky in the cave. There was a table along one wall with a tallow candle stuck in a bottle on it. And at the table were seated Pablo, three men Robert Jordan did not know, and the gypsy Raphael.
I do not like dynamite here in the cave.
It is far from the fire.
Anselmo stood where he had come in, to the right of the table. The wife of Pablo was standing over the charcoal fire in the corner of the cave. The girl knelt by her, stirring an iron pot.
How goes it, Gypsy?
Goes?
Robert Jordan could tell they had been talking about him when he came in. He offered cigarettes to the new men. He noted one man took cigarettes and two did not. All of his concentration was on Pablo.
One called Agustin says he dies of boredom above.
Yeah, that doesn't kill. Let him die a little.
Pablo watched him. He knew they were all watching him too, but he watched only Pablo. Robert Jordan swung a little to the left on his stool so that his pistol slipped around on his belt, closer to where he wanted it.
How's business?
When Pablo did not answer, Robert Jordan looked carefully at the other three men at the table to see where he stood. The one who took a cigarette had a large flat face, flat and brown as a Serrano ham, with a nose flattened and broken and a gray stubble of beard. He looked down at the table when Robert Jordan looked at him, but his eyes were steady and they did not blink. The younger two were evidently brothers, and they looked back at him steadily.
What are you looking at?
Thee? Were you at the train?
We were all at the train.
That is what we should do now. Another train.
He could see that Pilar, the wife of Pablo, had turned now from the fire and was listening. I might as well bring it on, he thought. It's coming anyway.
We can do that. After the bridge.
I do not go for the bridge. Neither me nor my people.
Pilar said something he could not hear to send the girl out of the cave. I think it is going to come now, Robert Jordan thought. I believe this is it.
Thou wilt blow no bridge here.
Robert Jordan shifted his weight so his pistol rested steady on the chair.
Do you hear it, Inglis? Thou wilt blow no...
for the bridge.
What do you say?
I am for the bridge. And against thee, Pablo. Nothing more.
The man with the flat face and the broken nose crushed the end of his cigarette on the table.
I'm also for the bridge.
I am for the mujer of Pablo.
Equally.
Equally.
Robert Jordan watched the betrayed look on Pablo's face while letting his right hand hang lower and lower, half hoping it would be necessary.
I am for the Republic, and the Republic is the bridge.
Well, thou thinkest there will be an afterwards from this bridge? Am I the only one who sees the seriousness of this?
I believe so, Robert Jordan thought. Old Pablo, old boy, I believe so. Except me. You see it, and I see it. And the woman read it in my hand, but she doesn't see it. Yet.
Thou with thy heart of a whore. I should shoot thee and the foreigner both.
Try it, see what happens. Listen to me, drunkard. You understand who commands here?
You command.
I command. Maria, enter now, serve supper.
Pablo retreated to the corner of the cave with a cup of wine. Robert Jordan checked that his hands were not shaking, then opened his notebook to the sketches of the bridge and placed it on the table where everyone except Pablo crowded around.
Look how it seems. It is the bridge itself.
The maison. Yeah. Why didst thou not kill Pablo?
Do you speak seriously?
What do you think that all waited for? Three or four times we waited. Pablo was no friends.
I had the idea, but I left it.
Surely all could see that.
Kill him, though.
That is to assassinate. It is not how one should act for the cause.
Provoke him, then. But you have to kill him. There's no remedy.
After dinner, Robert Jordan sat in a corner by the fire, listening to the woman.
If you need as many men as you say, Inglés, you must travel across the valley to see El Sordo tomorrow.
She was washing the dishes, and the girl, Maria, was drying them.
May I go too, Pilar?
Yes, beautiful. Isn't she pretty? How does she seem to you?
To me, she seems very well. Intelligent.
How well you look and how badly you speak, Roberto.
He is a communist. They are very serious, gente.
Are you a communist?
No, I'm an anti-fascist.
For a long time?
Since I've understood fascism for nearly 10 years.
I've been a Republican for 20 years.
My father was a Republican all his life. It was for that they shot him.
My father was also a Republican all his life. Also my grandfather.
In what country?
The United States.
And is thy father still active in the Republic?
No, he is dead.
Can one ask how he died?
He shot himself.
To avoid being tortured?
Yes, to avoid being tortured.
And my father could not obtain a weapon. Oh, I'm very glad that your father had the good fortune to obtain a weapon.
Yes, it was pretty lucky. Should we talk about something else?
Robert Jordan reached over and ran his hand over the top of her head. She moved her head under his hand and smiled up at him.
I'll do it again. I wanted you to do that all day.
And me, am I expected to watch all this? I am expected not to be moved. Listen to me, Inglés.
Not Inglés, American.
Listen then, American. Where do you plan to sleep?
Outside. I have a sleeping robe.
Good. And our materials can sleep with me. You would do well to go to bed now. Thou hast had a long journey.
He was asleep in the robe, and he had been asleep, he thought, for a long time. The robe was spread on the forest floor beyond the cave mouth, and as he slept, simply stretching in the robe against the flannel lining was voluptuous with fatigue. Then he felt her hand on his shoulder and woke, turning quickly, his right hand holding the pistol under the robe.
Oh, it is thee. Get in. It is cold out there.
No, I must not.
Get in and we can talk about it later.
I am ashamed.
No, you must not be. Please.
Put thy hand on my head.
He put his hand on her head and stroked it. And then suddenly her face was away from the pillow and she was in his arms.
There is no need to do anything. We are all right.
Now as they lay, all that before had been shielded was unshielded. Where there had been roughness of fabric, all was smooth, with a smoothness and firm rounded pressing and a long warm coolness. Cool outside and warm within. Happy making, young and loving, and with a hollowing, chest aching, tight held loneliness that was such that Robert Jordan felt he could not stand it.
Hast thou loved others?
Never. But things were done to me.
By who?
By various. But I have never kissed any man.
No one has done anything to thee. Thee they cannot touch.
You believe that?
I know it. Maria, Dost thou wish?
Yes. Everything. Pilar told me that if we do everything together, the other maybe never will have been. When they found me. I wish to die, you see. And now I am so happy that I did not die. the noses go? I always wondered where the noses would go.
Look. Turn my head.
And now let's do quickly what it is we do so that the other is gone.
You want?
Yes. Yes.
England! Get in! They will see thee!
It was daylight and the girl was gone. As he woke, he saw them. A fascist patrol of three Fiats, tiny, bright, fast moving across the mountain sky. Then came nine more, pointed formations of threes, threes, and threes. Robert Jordan rolled his robe and sat tight against the rocks as 15 more Fiats and 18 more Henkel bombers came over in echelons.
Have there been planes like this before?
Never. And never so many.
This is bad, Robert Jordan thought. Here is a concentration of planes, which means something very bad. They can't know about the attack, he told himself. And something in him said, why can't they? They've known about all the others.
Anselmo, I want you to go to watch the road. Note everything that passes.
I do not write.
There's no need to. This picture is a tank. Take this and make a mark for tanks thus. Make another mark for trucks. Mark for guns, big ones, thus. Mark for cavalry, ambulances, and for anti-tanks. You understand?
Yes. It is ingenious.
Good. One paper is for movement up, one is for movement down the road.
Fernando, was there much movement in La Granja last night?
A short, open-faced man of about 35, with a cast in one eye, whom Robert Jordan had not seen before, answered.
A few camions, as usual. Some cars. No movement of troops while I were there.
What are the rumours?
I do not like to listen to rumours. But they say the Republic is planning an offensive.
The Republic or the fascists?
The Republic. And they say they will try to blow up the bridges.
Are you joking?
This one doesn't joke. What are the rumours, Fernando?
If I could remember, I would not. It is beneath a man's dignity to listen and give importance to rumours.
And with this, we will save the Republic.
No, you will save it by blowing bridges.
What bridges?
Go and have some more stew, Fernando. Men like this are why we need El Sordo's help. There's many men for us. Real guerrillos.
How do we travel to El Sordo's?
We shall walk. If we ride, the girl gets stiff in too many places and serve for nothing. Did you sleep well? Be as careful with her as you can. If she has a baby, that will do no harm. She will go with you.
I cannot take a woman where I go.
But you care for Maria?
Yes. Suddenly.
Robert Jordan could feel his voice thickening. It gave him pleasure to say it, and he said it quite formally in Spanish.
I care for her very much.
That morning, after dropping down from a high meadow into a wooded valley, they climbed up, still deep in the shadow of pines, to the top of a rim rock formation.
Halt! Ah, hola, Pilar.
Who is this with thee?
An Inglés, Roberto. What a piteous steepness it is to arrive here.
Salud, camarada.
Salud.
He was very young, with a light build, high cheekbones and grey eyes. His hand clasp was strong and friendly.
Are you the dynamiter? We are glad to see you. Is it for a train?
Were you at the last train?
Was I not? That's where we got this. You are pretty now.
Shut up, Joaquin. Thank you very much.
I carried thee. I was glad thou weren't hanging over my back when the shots were coming from behind us.
My saviour.
This boy carried thee much, and if he had dropped thee, he could have soon been out the range of bullets.
I have thanked him, and I will carry him sometime. Allow us to joke. I do not have to cry, do I, because he carried me.
I would have dropped thee, but I was afraid Pilar would shoot me.
He used to be such a polite little boy.
Where are you from, Joaquin?
Valladolid. There they shot my father, my mother, my brother-in-law, and now my sister.
What barbarians?
How many times had he heard this? How many times had he watched people say it with difficulty? How many times had he seen their eyes fill and their throats harden with the difficulty of saying, my father, or my brother, or my mother, or my sister? Nearly always they spoke as this boy did now, suddenly, and apropos of the mention of the town. And always you said, what barbarians? We never knew how anything really ended, he thought. You stayed with a peasant and his family. You came at night and ate with them. In the day you were hidden, and the next night you were gone. You did your job and cleared out. The next time you came that way, you heard they had been shot. The partisans did their damage and pulled out. The peasants stayed and took the punishment.
Ah, there he is. Hola!
Now they had reached El Sordo's camp in the last of the pines, two caves hidden well by scrub pines growing in the rock. It was as good or better a place than Pablo's.
Hola, woman! Hola, camarada!
The man was short and heavy, with broad cheekbones, gray-haired and clean-shaven, with wide-set yellow-brown eyes.
Drink? Whiskey?
You have whiskey?
Yes. Inglés. Not Russo.
Americano.
Same as Inglés. When blow bridge?
Day after tomorrow morning.
Good.
But, comrade, we need many men to do this.
El Sordo nodded to Maria and Joaquin and looked at his watch.
Go away. Half an hour.
Yes, Sordo.
So, much troop movement. We prepare something.
Possibly.
Planes you saw. They know. Prepare too.
It is possible.
Does he talk that way to everyone, Robert Jordan thought? Or is that his idea of how to make foreigners understand?
Why not blow the bridge now?
Timing is of all importance. I have my orders. I will blow the bridge. I will need you to attack the fascist posts at the House of the Roadmenders to stop them getting to the bridge as I blow it.
And Pablo?
Pablo will attack the post at the sawmill, take it and fall back on the bridge. How many men have you?
Eight.
Are there any others? To take the post and cover the bridge while I'm blowing it, we should have 20 more men.
20? What about the retreat? We are already 17 people and just 9 horses.
I could get maybe 4 more men. 4 good is better than much bad. How is Pablo?
As you know, worse every day.
I bring mine, and 4 more.
And horses?
Tonight we will steal more horses. Since we leave tomorrow, we can be bold.
Where do we go when this is done? It must be planned very well.
There are many places. You know the mountains of Sierra de Gredos?
I want to go to the Republic.
I should think you could operate well from the Gredos. To operate from there would be better than returning to the Republic. You are more useful there.
I've made a mistake, Robert Jordan thought to himself. When I should have flattered them, I have told them what I think they should do. And now they are furious. Well, they will either get over it or they will not.
Listen, Inglés. How are your nerves? The last dynamiter they sent was very nervous.
He is dead now.
How?
I shot him. After a train. He was too injured to travel and unwilling to be left behind. My nerves are fine, Pilar, but we need more men to do this bridge. And when we have done it, you should go to Gredos.
You filthy old lane, Inglés, son of a bitch.
Watching El Sordo laugh as Pilar cursed him, Robert Jordan knew that it was all right again now. He was still 20 men short, but everything was fine.
On paper, this is simple. The bridge is blown at the moment the attack starts in order that no fascist reinforcements shall come up the road.
Paper bleeds little. You see, comrade, to exterminate the post is easy. But to leave afterward and get out of this country in daylight presents a grave problem. You speak of going to Gredos as though it were a military maneuver to be accomplished. To arrive at Gredos would be a miracle. But I've talked too much. Woman, you wish to go to the Republic. Let us win this, and it will all be the Republic.
They left El Sordo's after eating and started back down the trail. It was hot in the late May afternoon, and halfway up the last steep grade, the woman stopped.
Pilar!
Let us rest a minute. We go too fast.
The three of them sat down under a pine tree and looked across the mountain meadow to where the tops of the peaks seemed to jut out from the roll of the high country, with snow shining bright on them now in the early afternoon sun.
What rotten stuff is the snow? And how beautiful it looks. Come here, Guapa. Rest thy head in my lap.
Maria moved close to her, put her arms out, and lay with her head on her arms.
Listen, Guapa. I love thee and he can have thee. I'm no tortillera, but a woman made for men. That is true. But now it gives me great pleasure to say thus in the daytime that I care for thee.
I love thee too.
Que va. You are for the Inglés. That is seen as it should be. I do not make perversions, I only tell you something true. There's always something like this, something that there should not be. Few people will ever talk to thee truly, and no women. I am jealous, and I say it, and it is there. And now the silliness is over.
It was not silly.
And now, quiet Inglés. You swallowed your tongue. Did you like the taste?
Not much.
You please me, Inglés. But thy bridge has given me headache.
You can call it the headache bridge. But I will drop it in that gorge like a broken birdcage.
Good. Keep on talking like that. Oh, I will leave you now. You have much to do together.
You speak grossly.
I am gross, but I'm also very delicate. We'll have something hearty for you to eat, Inglés.
They were walking through the heather of the mountain meadow, and Robert Jordan felt the brushing of the heather against his legs. And in his hand, he felt the girl's hand, firm and strong, the fingers locked in his.
I will learn what I must do to take care of a man.
There is nothing.
Que va, nothing. Thy socks should be washed and dried.
What else?
If thou would show me, I would clean and oil thy pistol.
Kiss me.
Nay, this is serious. Wilt thou show me about the pistol? If you will teach me to shoot it, either one of us could shoot the other if it were necessary to avoid capture.
Very interesting. Do you have many ideas like that?
Not many. But I keep this razor blade always. Pilar says you must make the cut here, just below the ear, and draw it down so you cannot miss the big artery.
That's right.
But I would rather have thee shoot me. Promise. If there is ever any need that thou wilt shoot me.
Sure, I promise.
Thank thee very much. There are other things that I can do for thee.
Besides shoot me?
Then there was the smell of heather, crushed, and the sun bright on her closed eyes. And all his life he would remember the curve of her throat, with her head pushed back into the heather and her eyes tight closed against the sun. And for her, everything was red, orange, gold red from the sun on the closed eyes. For him, it was a dark passage which led to nowhere, then to nowhere, then again to nowhere, once again to nowhere, always and forever to nowhere, never any end to nowhere, hung on all time, always to unknowing nowhere. And suddenly, scaldingly, holdingly, all nowhere gone, and time absolutely still. And they were both there. Time having stopped, and he felt the earth move out and away from under them.
Hello, Rabbit.
Hello, my Inglés.
I'm not an Inglés.
Yes, you are. You're my Inglis.
I love you, Rabbit.
Now put thy arm around me, please. See those clouds? It will snow.
Now? Almost in June?
Why not? These mountains do not know the names of the months.
It can't be snow. It can't snow.
By the time they reached the camp, the snowflakes were dropping diagonally through the pines, sparse at first, and then, as the cold wind came driving down the mountain, they came whirling and thick, and Robert Jordan stood in front of the cave in a rage and watched them.
We will have much snow.
Has the old man come in?
No. You do not like the snow, Inglis? With this thy offensive goes. No offensive, no aviones, no bridge, just snow.
You expect it to last a long time? You think we're going to be snowed in all summer, Pablo, old boy?
All summer now. Tonight and tomorrow, yes. Should have snow.
Robert Jordan looked him in the eyes. You bleary-eyed sod, he thought. I'd like to clink this cup against your teeth. Anselmo was crouched in the lee of the trunk of a big tree, and the snow blew past on either side. His hands were inside of the sleeves of his jacket, and his head was pulled as far down into the jacket as it would go. If I stay here much longer, I will freeze, he thought, and that will be of no value. The Inglés told me to stay, he thought. All through this war, we have suffered from a lack of discipline and from the disobeying of orders, and I will wait a while still for the Inglés. I am lonely, he thought. I have no wife, I have no children, and I never will have any children. I am lonely in the day when I am not working, but when the dark comes, it is a time of great loneliness. But one thing that I have that no man nor any god can take from me, and that is that I have worked well for the Republic. I have worked hard for the good that we will all share later, and I have done nothing that I am ashamed of. All that I am sorry for is the killing. I wish there were a penance for it that one could commence. Later on, there may be certain days that one can work for the state that will remove it, as in the days of the church, he thought, and smiled. The church was well organized for sin. That pleased him, and he was smiling in the dark when Robert Jordan came up to him.
Hola, viejo.
Oh.
How's the old one?
It's very, very cold.
I'm glad to see thee, viejo. Come on. Let's go on up to camp and get warm.
How was it? Above?
Fine. Everything is fine.
He was very happy with that sudden, rare happiness that can come to anyone with a command in a revolutionary arm. The happiness of finding that even one of your flanks holds.
I'm awfully glad to see thee, viejo. If I ever get gloomy, when I see you, it cheers me up.
And me to see thee.
As they went up the hill in the dark, the wind at their backs, the storm blowing past them as they climbed, Anselmo did not feel lonely.
Inglis! It's still falling, Inglis!
There were six men sitting at the table and leaning back against the wall. Robert Jordan and Anselmo were shaking the snow from their jackets by the entrance.
Roberto, are you ready to eat? All have eaten except you and Anselmo.
Let us eat then. And now?
Afterwards, Pilar.
In my country, a man does not eat before his woman.
Eat with him, drink with him, sleep with him, die with him. Follow the customs of his country. Where is thy country, Inglis? Where do women eat with the men?
In Estados Unidos, in the state of Montana.
But is that where the men wear skirts, as do the women?
No, that is in Scotland.
But listen, when you wear skirts like that, Inglis...
I don't wear them.
When you're wearing those skirts, what are you wearing underneath?
Twice I've told you. Watch thy mouth.
Ignore him, Inglis. He's drunk. Tell me, how did you happen to come to Spain?
I came first 12 years ago to study the country and the language. I teach Spanish in a university.
You look very little like a professor.
He has no beard. He's a false professor.
He has a beard.
No, you should know.
Robert Jordan looked at Pablo. I don't think he is so drunk, Robert Jordan thought. I had better watch myself.
Thou, do you think the snow will last?
Ask the woman, she commands.
I asked thee.
Go and screw thyself. Thee and the woman and the girl.
I'd like to kill him, Robert Jordan thought. I don't know what he is going to do, but it is nothing good. Let us get it over with.
Sin vergüenza.
Nay, Inglés, do not provoke me.
Cobarde.
It is possible, but I am not to be provoked. To the professor, to the Senora Commander, to all the illusioned ones, I will be going out to see the horses. Divert thyselves. Speak to them at the bridge, Inglés. Where will you take them, Inglés, after the bridge? Where will you take your patriots?
He lifted the blanket over the door of the cave and stepped out.
Still falling, Inglés.
Pilar? Is there any more of the stew?
Oh, shut up, Fernando.
Now, Inglés, you've seen how Pablo is.
He is capable of doing anything.
Anything? Where is the automatic rifle?
Pablo will not do that. He could toss in a bomb. That's more his style.
It's an idiocy and a weakness not to have killed him. Last night, Roberto should have killed him.
Kill him.
I was against it. Now I'm for it. He is poisonous now, and he would like to see us all destroyed.
I am agreed that it is perhaps best that he should be eliminated, since it is impractical to hold him as a prisoner and...
Fernando, we are in possession of thy opinion. Now, Andres.
Marcelo.
Eladio.
Equally. He was a great danger, and he served for nothing.
Equally.
Without Pablo, can you make the retreat to Grados?
Perhaps. With El Sordo's help.
Roberto, no.
Estoy listo. I will do it.
No.
I will do it tonight.
Do you need a drinking glass?
The blanket fastened across the opening of the cave was lifted, and Pablo stepped in.
Were you speaking of me?
He grinned at them all.
Am I interrupting? The wind is shifting. I believe we'll have good weather for it, Inglés.
We?
Yes, we. I thought it over while I was outside. With the change in the weather, I'm with thee.
You fear that we will kill thee?
No. I do not fear that, you know that. And you know Grados is the only place we can go after this at the bridge.
Grados?
Let the others trust thee. I do not.
Trust me or not. But Sordo cannot take you to Grados as I can.
Pablo sat down at the table and stretched. Look at him, Robert Jordan thought. I cannot kill him now. He has shifted like the wind. Robert Jordan watched Pablo across the table and the others talking and playing cards. Here it is. The shift from deadliness to normal family life that is the strangest, he thought. Pablo is a problem with which I should never have been saddled. And it will be solved one way or another. There will be Pablo, or there will be no Pablo. But I'm not going to get on that merry-go-round again. Twice I have been on that wheel, and twice it has gone around and come back to where it started. And I am taking no more rides on it. Now in the night he lay and waited for the girl to come to him. The air came into his lungs sharp as he breathed. It was clear and cold, and no snow was falling. El Sordo will leave plenty of tracks if he has stolen horses tonight, he thought.
You came barefoot through the snow?
Avoid the feet. They are very cold, Roberto.
Put them here and warm them.
Nay, that would be abusive. They will warm quickly. But say quickly now that you love me.
I love thee, my little rabbit.
He felt the long, light body warm against him, comforting against him, abolishing loneliness against him, magically, by a simple touching of flanks, of shoulders, and of feet, making an alliance against death with him. A warm wind came with daylight, and he knew with the first breath he drew that the snow had been only a freak storm in the mountains, and it would be gone by noon.
Maria, keep thyself under the rope.
He saw the horseman coming through the trees. Robert Jordan crouched now in the robe, and holding the pistol in both hands, aimed it at the man as he rode toward him. He was riding a big gray gelding, and he wore a khaki beret. He had a young, hard face. And at this moment, he saw Robert Jordan.
In For Whom the Bell Tolls by Ernest Hemingway, Robert Jordan is played by Patrick Kennedy, Pilar by Melanie Kilburn, Pablo by Ralph Einson, and Maria by Leah Brotherhead. Anselmo is played by Michael Burtonshaw, Raphael by Sean Mason, Augustine, Paul Heath, and Primitivo by David Acton. Eladio is Ian Conningham, Andres, Arthur Hughes, and Fernando, Monty D'Inverno. The narrator is Colin Stinton. The guitar is played by Ramon Ruiz. For Whom the Bell Tolls is adapted by Ed Heim, and the director is Sasha Yevtushenko.
Colm Debeen is Mariella Frostrup's guest in Open Book, which follows the news.
Julia Hobsbawm is pleased to meet you.
For me, networking is crucial to navigating the increasingly overloaded modern age.
As the world's first professor of networking, she addresses negative perceptions.
The idea that you have to know people to advance yourself is not a good idea. I think it's kind of fundamentally undemocratic as an idea.
Networking Nation on BBC Radio 4.
If you're the kind of person who hates the idea of networking, you're not alone. For me, networking is pretty much about equality of opportunity.
Monday to Friday afternoons at 1:45.